Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely
love you. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
All right, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Happy hour again. Welcome to PT Pintcast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories here in the world of physical therapy. I'm Jimmy McKay. I'm going to be your host today. Excited today. I gave him a nod. We've got to talk about it. Feels like a lot like a Gary V of PT. I don't know. I'm going to put it out there.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm feeling from this guy. Kadeem Howell is here. Very excited. Did you hear the crowd roar behind me? Kadeem's going to talk about some mindset things. This is why I like Kadeem. He talks strategic mindset and then tactical. Great. Now that you got that mindset, what are you going to do about it? So we're going to get into that. Also going to talk about literally all the different things that he has done to do this hustle mindset. I think I could say that safely. Hustle mindset, growth mindset, abundance mindset, and what you can do in your physical therapy practice or life to bring you what you want. Great show. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, just so you don't ever miss an episode. And now we're doing the video thing, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, at PT Pintcast on all the socials. Let's change it up and let's bring him in here. Kadeem Howell on the show right now. There he is.
What's up?
Kadeem, thanks so much for taking some time out and talking with us today. There's the socials on the screen, at Dr. Deem on Instagram, Twitter, Kadeem Howell. And you're in New York City. Just outside of New York City, you're in Westchester, a man after my own heart. I just left New York City not long ago. It was difficult. But there's that. I feel like we're going to talk a lot about the hustler mindset in terms of, like, I don't know. I feel like New York kind of like beats that into you in terms of speed and the veracity of the city. And even the areas around the city.
You know, the cliche saying is, you know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So, you know, you just got to have that hustle mindset. You'd be like, oh, it's so expensive to live here, but you got to will his way.
And if you want to stay there, you'll find the way. That's the thing. People are like, how do you do that? I had students ask me, how do you keep so much energy up? I'm like, if you really want it, that question never crosses your mind, because you understand that the world, the universe, not whatever you believe in terms of the secret, there's this universal force, whatever. It's not going to give you anything unless you go out and get it. So we'll do the first question. Unless you take action. Right. First question is always the hardest. We get the hard question out of the way first. What are we drinking today? That's the question.
Maker's Mark.
Wow.
Maker's Mark. Private Select. I'm a big whiskey fan.
Well done. I went to a local beer world today, and I had this on the last episode too. It's a Millhouse Brewing out of Poughkeepsie, New York. I'm in the Hudson Valley. It's called the Grocery Getter Tropical IPA. But then I just noticed this walking back from the fridge. On it says the art plus science of beer. Isn't that describing physical therapy? Little art, little science, and let's cheers to that. So cheers to you, Kadeem, for coming on the show, and tink tink as we drink.
Cheers.
Thanks to our friends from Owens Recovery Science for bringing you the first round, the single source for PTs looking for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training in your clinical practice. If you're going to do it with human beings, do it right. They have the equipment and the certifications. Check them out online at owensrecoveryscience.com. Johnny Owens and his team, Kyle Kimbrell, a lot of smart women and men in their crew. So check them out online, and their new podcast, the Owens Recovery Science podcast, on iTunes. Kadeem, what's your story? I like to say, what's your superhero backstory? You know, how'd you come to this great profession? Where's open-ended? Where's the start?
So I grew up in Long Island, in a little town called Manhasset, New York, in Long Island, on the island, as we say,
the island.
Long Islanders.
Yep.
And, on the island. And actually really started with my aunt. So I had an aunt, she was a valedictorian in my high school, super smart. She suffered a stroke and had lupus in college, and she was getting home therapy. So like I was like 5-6 years old, like I really understand what was going on, but we always had a therapist who I know now is a therapist coming to the house. I was like, oh yeah, that lady's coming to check on auntie. You know, I was like, all right, whatever. And so that was like my first introduction to like, oh, okay, you can help people recover. You know, she had a left-sided weakness for her whole life up until she was deceased due to complications of lupus. And I was like, oh. So, you know, and fast forward to high school. So I used to get, I was football, track athlete. I was always hurt, like always. and our athletic trainer, he was a PT. For the school, and like he was cool. So like when I would get hurt on the field, his clinic was literally down the road. So like he had a good, nice feeding system. Like,
there you go.
So to all you PTs out there, ATCs, work at a school, all your athletes go to your clinic. So he had a great business model.
Hold on. Hold on. It's not proximity. It's relationship, right? It's
yeah. Oh yeah.
I know that guy. Who do I want helping me? I want that guy.
That guy. He was awesome. Like, even to this day, his name is George. He's the CEO of Professional PT. They're like one of the largest PT clinics in the Northeast. They have over, I think, 300 locations now.
Wow.
And that was when they had two locations. This is back in 2003. So now see how they scaled up their enterprise to over 300 clinics. So I was like early adopter of their business model. And, you know, and he was a cool guy. Like he was, you know, charismatic and like he had a nice car and everything. I was like, what do you do? I was like, oh, you know, I'm a PT. Like, you know, when like this one, I thought he was the athletic trainer. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, like fix my ankle. You know, but I was like, this is dope. So that's, you know, that was like, oh, wow. Like I could do sports or things sports related and help people be cool and drive a nice car. Like that was like high school me thinking, oh, okay. Sure. You know, I was like, PG's doing it. Little did I know at the time, it's a lot more than that. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Right.
But, and then, so I got a athletic scholarship to SUNY Albany. So upstate New York.
Yeah.
I was a track athlete. I was All-American in high school, got recruited to do long jump, triple jump. I was All-American as a freshman on long jump, you know, competing as the big boys in Division I.
Man, so what would that look like?
Oh, hold on.
Know what that would look like. Oh, my goodness, if you're watching the video cast, we're actually watching. Is this you?
I'm not even sure. 20 pounds lighter. Whew, boy.
There's a lot going on. Let's get some audio.
Oh my God!
You're warming up there in the back of the long jump.
This is what the internet does. So my first long jump was 24 inches, I believe.
Feet, dude.
Yeah,
insane.
Triple jump was like 49 or 50 feet, which is like, yeah, you know, it'll get you to nationals. Not gonna get you on the podium.
they measure mine in like centimeters, but not a whole lot of centimeters. I'm not a jumper. Not at all, but yeah, we just had a screen. That was you, though, right?
That was me. Wow, I didn't.
The worst thing would be me showing a video of someone else with the same name as you. But that was like, I was like, what are the odds? Kadeem Howell, University of Albany, and I looked at your resume and I was like, the time fits. That's got to be him.
That's me, you know, and you know that passion of sports and athleticism. So I was in the athletic training room in high school. College was even more so. I redshirted my true freshman year. You know, my wife, my girlfriend at the time, now wife, she was on the track team. You know, we were going to track meets in Puerto Rico, Jamaica, like all over the country. And I was in my dorm room like, yo, this shit sucks. But, you know, that's kind of where, you know, the strengthening of the mindset started for me. It's just like, yo, like I'm injured. What am I going to do? Get to work, go to the rehab room, do what I got to do. Listen to my trainer, go to PT outside of the training room and just boom, 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 attack it. So that's kind of like when it really started to, you know, dealing with adversity was like, okay, how am I going to deal with this? Following year, made it to nationals as a redshirt freshman.
Wow.
So I was able to use that adversity and kind of parlay it as motivation. So,
you saw what you wanted and you knew there was some, you saw where you were and you saw what you wanted and you said, well, from A to B, I need to do something and this is what it needs to be. So this is, if you follow Kadeem on his social media channels, and we'll throw him up there again, Twitter, Kadeem Howell, or Instagram, Dr. Deem. First and foremost for you, since I came across you, and this is one of the reasons I like social media, is you can trip across people we would never come in contact with each other just because we're not geographically next to each other. And you start watching what people do, not necessarily listening to what they say. Like even Gary Vee will say that. Don't listen to what I say, watch what I do. And what I saw you do was consistently post and say things that were relevant to me, which is like, they weren't just these, those quotes on the wall. They were practical and tactical. Like, listen, if something sucks, fix it. Like, I mean, and that isn't one of them, but because yours are more prophetic than that, but like, that was, do that tomorrow, tweet that tomorrow. But adopting a growth and abundance mindset, now I get it. That's where it came from, right? It was you saying, I wanted this, and I realized I was hurt and I was in the dorm room. So how do I go from here to there? I hustle. I figure it out. I think we lost him for a second there. We'll take this opportunity to thank our sponsors. There we go. You back?
Yeah, I'm back. No, I was going to say that, you know, that's where it started. And from there, it was just practice. You know, just practice makes perfect, you know, and you know, it sucks to go through it, but like you kind of just get, you know, like an onion, you just grab another layer, like you just get more hardened when you deal with adversity and you come on the other side, you know. But yeah, like I was able to use that, and you know, like me personally, like in PT school, like fast forward to PT school, it's kind of on topic now with, you know, Black Lives Matter and everything. Like while I was in school, my younger brother was a victim of police brutality. You know, like this is like second or third year, first or second year PT school. And like, I remember like, cause I, you know, it was hard. I went to LIU, Brooklyn PT school, shout out to Blackbirds. They're now the Sharks, I think. They changed their name, something like that. But but no, like, you know, that was another adversity thing. I was like, you know, I either sit here and crumble, you know, it's my brother, my only brother. But, you know, I was like, I gotta finish this. I gotta finish PT school. Like I was ready to drop out. I was like, you know, there's a lot going on with my family and everything. But like, again, it's like dealing with adversity in the past, you know, you just kind of like get another layer, get hardened and do not like be ignorant, but you just know how to deal with things that aren't in your favor and kind of fuel that to keep you going. So like, yeah, my grades dipped for a little bit in PT school. Cause you know, and my professors, they knew, and they're like, you know, they understood. They're like, you know, but you know, my classmates, you know, a lot of them hate, don't look like me per se. So like, you know, it was not like I kept it in. Like I was like, you know, family, my girlfriend at the time, I was like, you know, this is just another one of those, like life throw these punches at you, you know, but like, it's all about how you dip and dodge them. You know, you can't just sit there and take them all day and expect to stand up. You know, you got to bounce back a little bit from time to time.
Well, I'm really sorry that your brother had to deal with that. I'm sorry he had to live through that. I'm sorry that, but I think one thing that you're highlighting too, is that one individual was affected by police brutality, but not one individual was affected by that situation, because you were saying my grades.
No.
Well, why? Because this was not an incident that just happened and went away.
100%. And when people ask me like, how do you deal with this? Because it's going around the world. It's just show support. That's all. You know, because there are ripple effects, and that's all you really do. That's all you really need is just support and understanding and recognition. You know, so that's, I'm really hopeful with American society these days that people actually show, you know, that, you know, some empathy, you know, PTs are really good at empathy. And families really ask for, you know, and that's, you know, people ask, like, what can you do? That's it. And I did get that. And that helped so much. And, you know, my brother to this day, like, you know, people ask him if he's okay. He's a badass. You know, my brother, he took it like a champ. You know, it's really my parents that really feel it, you know, and I look up to my little bro sometimes. I'm like, dang, man. Like I deal with some adversity, but you know what you went through. But so like we're both semi tough. I call him a little tougher than me, but
I like,
you know,
that.
Maybe get it from our father. Maybe get it from our dad. Who knows?
I highlight empathy and not, and I've talked about this on a different episode with a friend of mine who's a psychologist. He's like, it's important to know the difference of these two words, which is empathy and sympathy. I cannot sympathize with you and your brother, because that has never happened to me and my brother. Can't do it. I can't say, exactly. Hey, I know how you feel, and that sucks. I can't. I cannot do it. But I can empathize. That's the only thing I can do, and that's important to do, which is not to minimize it and say, hey, man, I can guess how that would feel. I cannot guess how that would feel. But I can empathize and say, I have no idea how I would feel, but if something happened to my brother like that, yes, I would be devastated. Yeah. I mean, so empathy and sympathy are two different things, but they're important to recognize the differences and what you can gain from those, because I think you can open a bridge, you can open a door with empathy.
And that's really it. And it goes a long way, you know, like, you know, it helps way more than anyone could believe, and you know, kind of gets them through the day, basically. So I was able to use that to get through PT school, you know, towards the end, and then go into my later refills. And you know, I was able to carry that. My first job out of PT school was with the Buffalo Bills.
I saw it on your resume.
Bills, Bills Mafia.
Yeah, upstate.
I'm a Jets fan. I'm a Jets fan. You know, J-E-T-S, Jets is Jets, but my first job was with the Bills. That was a little rough. Rex Ryan was there, though.
Yeah, he's no bull.
But even that took, you know, a mindset like what I did, and, you know, all the PG students out there, do not do what I did. Just disclaimer. So to get in the NFL, I had no idea what to do, but I was like, all right, I really want this. I worked hard. I'm in sports medicine. So I went on the NFL.com, right? I even went to NBA.com. I looked up all the PTs and trainers, and I would put John Smith at HawksNBA.com.
Yeah.
Or email. So I did every team in, like, do not do that. They do not like that. But
how'd you know, with the Bills then?
But with the Bills, you know, Sean Gibson, shout out to Sean, believes with the Saints, New Orleans Saints now. He actually responded to me. And he was like, he didn't even repeat to the email. This is the formal way to apply to the NFL as a PT. And they don't really take on a lot of PTs.
No.
They take on ATCs or PTs.
Right. But
I was able to parlay that. You know, I told him I was interested, potentially going to ATC school. You know, Sean, you know, he's a minority. I'm a minority as well. And, you know, he liked my story. You know, he liked, you know, the perseverance I went through. You know, it shows character. You know, so even if you're applying for a job, showing that, or applying to PT school, they like showing that character about you.
This is the second time in 16 minutes you've explained a relationship that has led somewhere for you that formed from a relationship, right? Your high school ATC, who was also a PT, who had a great business model being down the school, but like down the street from the school. But like the reason you worked with him was not proximity. It was relationship. And then you told your story to someone and he liked your story and said, I'll listen to this.
Yeah.
And it opened a door. I tell people all the time, like, people will ask me for like resume help, and I'll say, there should be a section at the bottom for, like, I don't even know what you call it, just like random stuff. Like, I've put on there, I was a high school or a middle school and high school swim coach. And people are like, why are you putting that on there? I go, because maybe that person was a swim coach. Maybe his kid swims, and it's like literally a conversation starter. I was like, I do Ironman triathlons. Like, why are you putting that on there? That's about you. It shouldn't be about you. I was like, this is my resume. It shouldn't be by me. The way I was able to find your video about long jumping was I went on your LinkedIn and saw you went to school at the University of Albany and you were in track and field. Then I Googled your name and I found a long jumper, and that's what so it's like, put it on your resume. It doesn't need to be the whole thing, but there should be a little part about the bottom that really is focused on you and what you like. It's this random, like, how do I have a conversation with this? So the resume will get you the interview. The interview gets you the job, but that random thing on the resume can spark a funny conversation that goes for an hour that gets you the job.
Makes you stand out. I put real estate on my resume, and some people are like, oh, wait a minute. Explain
doesn't
that.
Make any sense until it does.
Until it does.
All right. I want to throw this out there to you. So focusing on negatives will not lead to change. You've said this, and when I bring this up, when this comes up with anybody in your life, doesn't need to be a PT student, but a lot of times they do. We do focus on negatives, myself included. How do you respond?
So, like, the negatives, right? Like, I put a tweet out there, like, there's always more solutions than problems, right? Like, because you know what that one problem is you have. I don't have enough money. I'm not where I want to be in life. I don't have the job I want. But on the other side, how many other solutions? How many possible jobs are there for you to do? How many more opportunities to make more money are there? So the solutions will always outweigh the problems.
Yeah.
Every time. Because you know, you have a finite definition of what that problem is. And the solutions are limitless. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat for a reason. There's so many ways to solve that one problem.
I forget who said it. Somebody way smarter than me. But they said, if you think there's only one solution to a problem, you don't understand the problem yet.
No.
Because there can't be only one solution. So you kind of alluded to it in terms of solutions outweighing problems or outnumbering problems and PT side hustles, right? So clinical and non-clinical. So if you're sitting there saying, and this was a quote that you had tweeted and it got a little viral, got a little spread around. There was some positivity and negativity. And the funny part is the negativity actually makes things go further, which is counterintuitive. But it was, you heard this in PT school, this line from who? Who is
my professor, my anatomy professor.
What did he say?
Dr. M. He said, I think someone in my class, I forgot who it was. You know, if any of my classmates listen to this, please say who you are. They're like, oh, you know, I'm going to blow up as a PT, you know, make so much money. And because it was like our business lecture at our third year of school, like not really a business lecture, just kind of going over insurance and how it works. And he was like, you know, guys, I just want to preface, like, you'll never be rich just being a PT. Even I took it sometimes. I'm like, hold up. I'm trying to blow up. I'm going to be Dr. Deem. I'm going to kill it in PT. What are you talking about? It wasn't until a couple of years in, I was like, you know what? Dr. M was right. But it wasn't just specific. I mean, we happen to be PTs or in PT school, but he's right, because you'll never be rich. And rich is a vague definition, right? Everyone has their own definition. But you'll never be rich just being a PT. And I emphasize, I capitalize just for, you know, because just being a PT, that's implying just being an employee. You know, like if you're a business owner, you're no longer just a PT, you're a PT and a business owner.
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference between the two. And, you know, I read read this book called The E-Myth, and he talked about the difference between the entrepreneur and the expert. And like just reading that, I was like, yo, because I worked for a few clinics, like, and it focused so much on being the best PT, but they weren't so much the best entrepreneur. And those are two separate entities.
Right.
Like, I used to think they're synonymous. If you're the best PT, you're the best business owner, you're gonna kill it. Nah. I mean, there's a few people that find that nice balance of really great PTs, great, but it's like I've seen, you know, and just through colleagues, just like it just keeps teeter-tottering. I'm just like, wow, yeah, man. So like just being a PT, like it's you know, we can complain to APTA, we could complain about insurance companies, you know, the public service loan forgiveness, you'd be like, oh, you know, we're just waiting for that kick in. I know so many people don't get that. APTA, that's not their job.
Right.
Insurance companies earn it to make money. So we can complain as PTs and we may never see results for 20 years, or you can do something about it.
Right.
You know, I hate to sound so blunt about it, but like, there's so many, like, as a PT, like, yeah, we could talk about clinical side hustles. Like, you know, I was talking on a PT podcast last week. Like, you know, one of the big things I picked up was affiliate marketing. And I didn't know this at the time, but, like, a lot of outpatient PTs can relate to this. So, you know, you have a patient, they want to do their home exercise at home. Oh, where can I get this equipment? You know, your clinic may not sell it. You send them an Amazon link. Hold on, wait a minute. Sign up to be an Amazon affiliate. You get paid for that link, the patient's going to buy anyways.
Amazon appreciates it. They appreciate you, and they will appreciate you.
That's the easiest side hustle. Any PT, especially an outpatient, maybe inpatient, maybe a little bit too, if they're discharged. But it's just like, whoa, like patient use Hypervolt on a patient. Yo, I want a Hypervolt. Send me an affiliate link to the Hypervolt. You get like, what, $20 for a Hypervolt that a patient's going to buy?
Right.
You know, say if you sell a patient, 10 patients out of the year want to buy a Hypervolt. That's like $200. You're not doing much.
Right.
Put that towards student loans. Put that towards, you know, anything, your savings. Like, whoa, there's so many. Like, well, the internet makes it so open.
I agree with you. There's got to be a difference, though, like, because I've seen people push things too hard for that reason. So as long as the reason, and this is probably should be true behind anything. As long as the reason behind you saying something or doing something is true, there is no reason whatsoever you shouldn't benefit from it. Right?
Like, you have to have a strong why.
Right. If your why is sound, then by all means, because like, Amazon will give you that affiliate link.
And like, if you're bridging the gap, it's something they're going to buy anyways. Now, if you're selling them something they're not interested in,
good,
then you're right. Going to come off as a sleazy salesman, you know, knocking on the door. But it's something they're going to buy anyway. Like, that's just a missed opportunity. You know, right. It's just like something they're going to do anyways, you know? So it's like, I mean, you could disclose, you know, I'm an affiliate, so I get a kickback for the product, or, you know, the TheraBands, or, you know, the stretching equipment or dumbbells. So like, it's totally fine. Just let them know. But like, it's something that, you know, people are like, oh, but I don't have money, extra money at the end of the day. You know, I'm busting my ass. And it's just like, whoa. That's like the lowest level thing you can do, like without changing your lifestyle.
Right. We're going to do it with this podcast. We talked about it yesterday and we're going to do it with you. Every guest, we ask three questions. And one of those questions is a what question. So what's something watched, read, downloaded, whatever, book, movie, podcast that you think the audience would benefit from? I asked that question because I like to stack up my reading list. I like to see what other people are reading. You mentioned E-Myth. I've read that. Great book. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, we just talked about yesterday, like, why don't we have a running list where people can just go, hey, I wonder what all the guests on that podcast have said as their book to recommend. And if they click on it and buy it, I don't know, we get a dollar. Now we get to donate that dollar to charity, or we get to fund a scholarship to send a PT student to the next CSM. Yeah, it just levels up.
It's vertically integrated.
I wanted to go back before we skip this. You said focusing on negatives would not lead to change. I have a rule for this. If you get if the world punches you in the mouth, and it will, not, I shouldn't say if, when the world punches you in the mouth the next time, you are allowed 24 hours to bitch about it, not a minute longer. You can sulk and you can go get a beer or several beers and you can pull the covers over your head and hide in bed. You got 24 hours running clock from the moment you get punched in the mouth. After that, get your ass out of bed.
Something I learned in football, short-term memory.
Short-term memory, right.
We're humans, so we have emotions. You know, you can suppress emotions if you want, but you're allowed to express yourself, but short-term, that's it.
Short-term. All right, let's talk about some of these PT side hustles, clinical and non-clinical. Okay. First off, something I have no idea about. I know the term flipping. We've seen those shows on HGTV and about house flipping. Is there car flipping? How do you do this?
So yeah, so before PT school, I mean, I love cars. I've been into cars. You know, my dad, his first job was a transmission. He was a transmission technician. So like he, growing up, me and cars were a thing. You know,
right.
I had a Civic. Now, even my wife talks about like in college, I had an engine underneath my dorm room bed, and I was
working
on it. Like she was just like, wait, what? And I'm just like, yeah, it's for the car back home. Turns out that car got stolen. You know, but yeah, I know, right? Stolen from in front of my house. Crazy enough, Long Island. I can't. So I flipped a couple cars in college, like undergrad, and after, like before PT school. Obviously, PT school kind of took up all my time, and I lived in Brooklyn, so I couldn't park my car anywhere. I mean, I had a car at my parents' house, but I flipped a couple cars. It first started incidentally. You know, I had a couple cars, a couple Volkswagens, a couple Civics. You know, a lot of my friends were in street racing. I wasn't in street racing. I was just into having a nice, clean car, you know, kind of nice wheels and stuff. But, like, sometimes I would need parts from a car. So I'm like, oh, let me get that. Let me just buy the whole car. You're parting it out. I'm like, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with this car. Like, let me just fix this up. And I was like, oh, I don't need it. Let me just put it on Craigslist.
So I look at car flipping, which is like you could literally insert anything flipping, which is if you were a gymnast, right? And now you can be a gymnastics instructor.
Yeah.
If you were a swim coach, you could be a swim instructor. If you know something that it would take someone this much time to learn, but you could do it in this time, they will pay you to eliminate their problem. So to me, flipping, like house flipping, listen, I'm probably going to buy a house in the next couple of years, but am I going to be able to decorate it like you see on those shows? No. So is an interior decorator, like, is it worth their time? If it makes the house look like I want it to look like, yes. So if you can flip something, flip something. Going along the line with big, because cars are big, but real estate's bigger. That's property. So you've done all these flips, just so we're clear with the audience. Rental estate flipping.
Yeah. So like for me, it was just one so far, and I'm actually looking at another deal now. But I'd say about 2017, you know, I bought a two family in Troy, New York. It's upstate.
Yeah.
Albany. Yeah. Don't know. You know, I went to Albany because I was a student in Albany. I lived in one of those like rinky dink houses. You know, I had a landlord in Staten Island. He would fix some things, you know, real cheap. And I'm just like, one day I was just sitting in my dorm room. I mean, my apartment room. I was like, wait a minute. I was running the numbers.
Doing the math.
$350 a room and seven rooms. He added a room. Wasn't probably legal, but he did it anyways. And I was like, oh, this dude's making like $2,000 a month.
Doing what?
Off his net. Doing nothing. Like the cheapest repairs. And I was like, all right. And I started looking up the prices. And I was like, oh, wow. I mean, in school, I mean, looking back, I would have bought a house, you know, with like refund checks from school. I used my refund check to buy some nice rims for a car that I had. I ended up selling the rims in the car. But I was like, yo, if I use that refund check to buy this house I was living in or someone similar, I would have killed it. But so fast forward to this deal that I had. Yeah, you know, and it's one thing about being a PT, and it's like, you know, I was telling a lot of people, yo, I'm going to get into real estate, you know, and they're like, oh, but Kim, you're a PT, you know, just stick to your day job. And I was like, what? I was like, you know.
Solving problems. So you're looking at your own problem, right? Saying, well, if I can buy for X and sell for X plus 20%, that seems like a pretty good deal. But I feel like people need to know about the ins and outs of real estate because you could screw up. But if you're willing to look it up, like I'm telling you, don't, like, before you pay for a course or buy a book or do anything, go to the Google machine. And if you're willing to put your time in, you can educate yourself on how to do things. Fix an engine, flip a house. Anything.
Some people call it YouTube University. But yeah, it's like for real, you know, and you know, with that one, I paid the rookie tax. You know, rookie tax is, you know, you just do something anyways. You know, you may get your some bumps and bruises, but at the end of the day, you made it on top. But, you know, it wasn't so smooth along the way. So right. That first deal I did, you know, no one wanted to teach me anything. I asked everyone I know. They're like, no, you waste your time. You know, real estate's great, but you don't know what you're doing. You're a PT, your day job. And I'm like, no, I want to do this. You know, and after that conversation with my professor about, you know, be rich as a PT, I was like, how do I become rich? Invest in real estate. I said, yeah, got it. YouTube University. So watching all these videos and it ended up working out. You know, sleepless nights with contractors because I'm 3 hours away managing a rehab. You know, I bought this house. I didn't even look at it. You know, I just like, you know, I took out a loan, bought the house, fixed it up. You know, I knew because I'm handy, you know, I've done things around the house growing up, working on cars and stuff. And I was just like, you know, my wife was just like, sure, it's going to work. I was like, I got this.
Confident before.
But, yeah. you know, like not really fake it till you make it, but like, you know, you got to believe in yourself because if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will.
Yeah. Let's talk about two more. One you've been talking about a lot recently since I started following you on Twitter, which is day trading. So like I've heard about this and I literally know nothing about it, but day trading. Walk me through it. How'd you get into it? How's it work?
So, I mean, I struggle to call this a true side hustle because at the end of the day, it's depending on the market. You know, we're talking about the stock market. You know, a lot of people are just like, what is the stock market? Most PTs, I'm assuming, have some type of retirement account. They're all derived on stocks. It would be collection stocks, individual stocks. They're all based off the stock market. Pieces of large companies that we know of, Apple, Tesla, Microsoft, you name it. So I trade. This is something I picked up on my own, but I took a little bit more emphasis now that I'm a PT. But it's basically just trading stocks, which is these pieces of companies and options. Options are contracts of those pieces of companies, 100 at a time. And we just go in and out. And, since, you know, I took this downtime because I'm furloughed, for those who don't know, you know, New York got hit pretty hard by COVID. Yeah. I've been furloughed since March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And it's rough. You know, New York, it's a lot of jobs are not hiring because there's a slowdown of available people who want to come to PT, even though we're essential. No one wants to come in.
Sure.
You know, my job, we opened up. Nobody showed up. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, people want to be safe, you know, especially in the second wave. So I took the initiative and I was like, you know what? You know, my first day I got furloughed, I was like, this dude is promoting this course on option trading. Like I've done it a little bit, you know, just cause like, you know, YouTube University, but it wasn't as in depth. So I was like, you know what? I emptied out my piggy bank of coins. I bought this course online. I was like, yo, let's learn. And then since I was learning like the market, you know, just like learning different things in the market, I was like, oh wow, I can make money doing this. And I'm like, wait, people do this for a living. It's like, oh shit. So I'm sitting at home, just, you know, making $200, $300 a day. I was like, wow, that's close to what I make as a PT. I was like, this is pretty cool. And a chiropractor buddy of mine, you know, he's like, yo, my buddy's running this day trading group you might be interested in. He's a PT. So get a kick of this. He does his profession. He's been doing this for years since he graduated PT school. He makes $1,000 a day, no matter what. If the market is going up, going down, and he treats patients in the afternoon. Usually around 10:30 in the morning, we're done for the day. Made a couple trades. And yeah, he'll treat like two patients a day. Like he makes way more money trading than as a PT because he loves being a PT.
Right.
And like that quote I put out, like, you'll never be rich just being a PT. I do PT because I love it. You know, like I have no expectations. Like it's going to make me super wealthy. Even if I owned 1,000 clinics, maybe.
Right.
But like, you know, it's like I had a lot of interest before PT school and they're still there. And people are like, oh, can you be a PT? But I'm like, and? Like I'm a human, you know, like, and I got my scrubs on, I'm a PT, but when I take the scrubs off, I'm Kadeem.
Well, here's the thing that I've noticed is that you've literally just through everything we just talked about, through you going to school as a long jumper, and as a triple jumper, being injured, car flipping, leveraging social media, affiliate marketing, you've just doubled down on yourself. Like you've never said, I'll buy in on someone's paradigm or someone's thought. That's not that they don't take a class. By all means, if there's a class that can educate you, if you're going to pay $50 to learn from someone who's already paid the rookie tax, as you talked about, by all means, let's take that class. But you've doubled down on yourself.
Yeah.
That's the lesson to me is if I have time and I'm willing to do it, I'll learn how to day trade, or I'll flip real estate, or I'll flip cars. And the next thing that you're doing now is you're doing an e-com drop shipping. So I've heard the term drop shipping before, but I don't think I actually know what it means. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, you know, and you know, kind of piggybacking on that Amazon affiliate, right? I was like, yo, you know, I send a patient, you know, this link from Amazon store. I was like, wait, why not just make my own store? Why do I gotta rely on someone else's store? I'm gonna get the full commission.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, drop shipping, I've heard of, you know, I've had some family members do drop shipping.
What is drop shipping
essentially is basically importing products. It could be from, it's more commonly from China. So I don't know if you heard of the company Alibaba.
Yeah. So like the
Alibaba is like
Amazon, like Middle East.
Yeah, basically, you know, of China. So basically it's you running an e-commerce store. Shopify is the biggest one. I think Facebook's going to come out with their own. Like, so you make the storefront, the internet storefront, and you don't hold any inventory. So if someone buys from your store, the inventory is in China, gets shipped from China directly to your customer.
Got it.
The warehouse is producing the product. You know who introduced this to me? A PT named Chris Johnson, a running PT.
Oh, Zarin PT.
Yeah, Zarin PT. Like, I took one of his courses in PT school, and he had TheraBands, and he had Zarin PT on it. He was like, yeah, you know, there's a website called Alibaba. This is like back in like 2014, 2015. He was like, yeah, I got my logo on them. I paid like pennies for them. And I'm shipped from China. And like in his course, he gave us all these bands. And like I had this band that I used so much. And I was like, wow, this is a good durable band. And I hit him up about it. He goes, yeah, you know, you go on Alibaba, you upload a logo on it, and they'll ship it to you for pennies. And I was like, whoa, there's something going on here. Hold on. Hold the phone. Time out. And so yeah, so now that I'm, you know, dormant here because of furlough, COVID. Thank you, COVID.
well, I was like, the idea is if you were gonna say, hey, I'm gonna buy a 100 pint glasses, right?
Yes.
And I'm gonna spend X on them, but now I gotta ship them to me, and I gotta hold them, and I gotta hold my breath until I sell them for $10 a pop, and then I gotta ship them to someone else. I've paid for shipping twice, or I paid for shipping once, and I've had
the shipping call customer. And COVID delays things.
And COVID delays things, right? So, wow, that is a cool concept. I like that a lot.
So, I'm launching my store relatively soon. It's a big undertaking, but I love projects, obviously. But so I'm doing our drop shipping store just based on like PT stuff, like a Theragun, some TheraBands, like put a bunch of like, you know, like a stretching strap. So I was like, these are things like I keep sending patients to do.
Things you'd already recommend.
You know what I mean? I was like, why not just keep it in house? So this is like my test run. You know, if you follow me on any of the social platforms, I will post it when it launches. I'm still working some of the nicks and knacks in it, but I was just like the same idea. I was just like, oh, why don't I just bring that in house? I mean, yeah, they come from China, but like TheraBands, you know, especially the like all, you know, yellow, red, they all snap, you know. It's just like, you know, they don't last that long. I was like, if I could get it for pennies and give it to my patients, like the loops, I was like, oh, like Perform Better is like the top name brand. But like the way I think of it, right? Like you go into a bodega, a deli, a gas station, look how many brands of water there are.
Sure. 15.
There's like 15, 30 brands of water, but all those companies are still in business. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to be Fiji or Essentia. I'm going to be like,
Aquafina. Be like Aquafina.
Aquafina. That stuff's nasty. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not like I'm trying to be like money hungry or anything, but I was like, you know, I'm in that market, you know, and people talk about saturation.
Kadeem, like, but here's what I hear. The same theme is happening again. This is a relationship. People aren't going to buy from you unless they have a relationship with you.
Trust.
That's trust. It's a relationship. Trust. They've said, listen, this guy is, I understand. I understand if I buy from Kadeem, he's going to make a nickel, but that's how life moves. But if they buy why you're doing it more than they understand it is business, that's a relationship. Listen, I'm going to buy this Hypervolt from anywhere, but if I buy it from him, I either did a discount or it's easier, it gets me faster, or he recommended it. It's relationship building. This is the fundamental.
You know, we're the PTs, like we're the experts. So we have to wear that with a badge of honor. you know, the responsibility. And like, I'm always doing the best with my patients. I'm not going to give them, I'm not going to sell them crap. You know, right. So I'm going to vet whoever I'm getting it from Asia. You know, I'm focusing on warehouses, like, or people that have shipment or inventory in the U.S. because I'm competing. Who's my biggest competitor? Amazon.
Right.
So if it takes, because of COVID, 3 months from Asia, no one's going to buy from me. I don't expect them to. My patients. But if they have a factory in the U.S., I'm like, okay, you know, I'll get this to you in a couple of days. You know, maybe a little bit cheaper than Amazon, but you know, it's me. And it's like, okay, Kadeem, cool. You know, and that's one of those PT verticals. You know, it's not so much like, oh, I got to learn a whole new skill. You have to learn the skill of sales and being a person, which
you already know that.
Like, not too far off, because flipping cars might be a little foreign to some people. Oh my God, I don't know about cars. Right. Real estate, maybe a little much. But think about things that you do and reverse engineer it. You know, reverse engineer your student loans. Reverse engineer your car payment. And it's like, how much do I need of this to cover that?
Yep.
You know, and that's the biggest things that makes PTs.
I try to reverse engineer my student loans because I try to have Navient be a sponsor of this podcast. Because I was like, listen, if I'm paying you a lot of money and I could just mention you a bunch of times, could you just like wipe out one of my loans? Just one, like literally one of my loans? I would like that a lot. But everything you're saying is not about shouldn't say it's about, because sales gets it like a dirty, like a four letter word, right? Sales, even though it's a five letter word.
Yeah.
And I'm bad at counting. you're convincing people, you're selling people on exercise or a plan of care. And if you do that for a living. Right. We do that for a living, but for some reason it gets this negative connotation. There's a lot of PTs out there, Jerry Durham, Greg Todd, who say, listen, this is not a dirty word. Like, this is what we do. It's the why. If you're convincing someone to buy something for a crappy reason, that's a crappy person. If you're convincing them to follow a certain path for a good reason, then that's a good reason to do that. So everything I hear in terms of your e-com, you know, dropshipping stores, everything I've heard in terms of day trading, in terms of real estate flipping, it's relationship building. You rebuilt an engine and I don't have to pay for a new engine. You just say that's a relationship. I trust him. That engine runs. Great. Let's do that. I love that. I want you. Can you do a "Hi, my name is" for me?
And you know, and it's like, for me. Hi, my name is Kadeem Howell.
So what I want you to do is, hi, my name is Kadeem Howell, and you're listening to PT Pinecast. Look right into the camera. Give me like your best voiceover artist.
Hi, my name. Yeah. Hi, my name is Kadeem Howell, and you're listening to the PT Pinecast.
Boom. I think everything about everything you've done is about side hustles, but all the side hustles are about relationships. And if you're good at relationships, good things will happen.
We're PTs. We're pros at that. We touch strangers for a living. That's what I tell people I do. I touch strangers for a living. Right. And my best patients are the ones that build the best rapport with.
Right. If you, as a PT, you meeting someone and 5 minutes later, you having their hand in their groin, if they've got an adductor issue, or you're like in their glute, if you can make that not weird, you can.
That's the hardest part of being a PT, I think.
But that's a relationship. It's like, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. You got a glute issue. Like, you explaining it. It's like, but that's a relationship builder. It's like, hey, here's why you're here. I'm going to explain it to you. That's education and relationship building. Using education.
You learn the skills in school.
Yes.
You learn the skills. You learn, you know, you read a textbook, read an article, but like, the hardest part is parlaying all that information and building a relationship. Because if they don't like you, like I did home care for a little bit too.
Yes.
Older people, if they don't like you, they let you know from day one. It's over.
You're out. You're not coming back.
It's over. I don't care how smart you are.
I got taught this in PT school from my professor, Sky Donovan. She said, I was like, listen, I'm not going to be a good PT. And she's like, why do you say that? And I'm like, I'm not smart. I'm not as smart as all my classmates. And I'm not throwing any of my classmates under the bus. But she was like, would you let all of those people touch your grandmother? And I was like, well, no. And she's like, exactly. And I was like, oh,
it matters.
It matters.
Like, my first job was part-time as a PT clinic. And a classmate of mine who's a valedictorian applied for the same position. I got it over her. I was like, yo, she's applying. Oh, shit. If she's going to get this job, She liked me. She's like, you know, I had you perform on a couple of my coworkers, and I just loved something about you. You connected.
It's a relationship. It's a relationship. You got to trust that person. Yeah. I love that. All right. Well, when that e-commerce store comes out, when that dropshipping course comes out, I want to be the first person to sign up for it because that's valuable. Like, that's providing a service. It's bridging a gap. That's solving someone else's problem. All those things we're supposed to
solve
be
doing. Entrepreneurs solve problems. That's it.
That's it. Entrepreneurs solve problems. And what do we know about solutions? They outnumber the problems.
A lot.
All right, Bridget, let's do three questions. Let's do one. Three questions brought to you by our friends from Aureus Medical Staffing. AureusMedical.com. If you want to travel, like, think about this racket. If you work as a travel PT, right, you get paid a little bit more. And if you wanted to, every 3 months, you're like, I don't know, I guess I'll be in Hawaii. I don't know, I guess I'll be in Florida. I don't know, I guess, well, not now, but like, I don't know, I guess I'll be in Alaska. Probably not Florida right now, but like, that's a pretty sweet gig. So AureusMedical.com. That's AureusMedical.com. First question on three questions is a where question. You're in New York, you're in Westchester. But where is somewhere in the 50 US that you wouldn't mind going for 3 months and just doing anything?
For me, it would be Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah, very specific. I like that. Why?
You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like one of those states you forget about. You know, it's like, wait, that's a state? sorry to anyone from New Mexico, you know, Albuquerque. You know, even the Looney Tunes make fun of, like, oh, you made a ride at Albuquerque, you know.
Turn at Albuquerque.
You know, but my wife, she used to do PR for Santa Fe, New Mexico. And, you know, and it just sounds so cool and cultural and, like, unbothered from, like, you know, like, from the architecture, the culture, the people, like, the Green Chili Festival. And I was like, yo, I would love, like, I live in New York. I'm just used to the concrete jungle, commuting on the Metro North train. It's just like, it's really monotonous. But like, Santa Fe, New Mexico, I was like, yo, that'd be so dope.
Like it.
And like, just to like, be there, you know, so like, that was one place I'd love to be. Travel PT, hang out there for a little bit. I love desert heat. So sign me up.
Santa Fe.
Yes!
You got it. Second question. We go from what, from where to what? What is something that you've read, listen to, downloaded, watch, something you'd recommend to the audience, something the audience would benefit from?
You know, I mentioned like the E-Myth. E-Myth that's big. A book. E-Myth is big. So I'll mention another one. I'd say Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, it's one of those books. It's grammatically, if you're a grammar Nazi, that is a horrible book.
Like, really?
I don't know who edited that book. Like, grammar-wise, it is horrible. Oh, yeah. But just mindset... Like,
got it.
Yeah, like, it was a horrible book. My mindset, though, like, you know, if you truly like take for what the book is saying and like apply it to yourself, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, he wrote a great book in terms of switching you from the, you know, I got to be employee, you know, grind till I'm like 65 because I'm a PT. Like, am I going to be doing aggressive manual therapy to 65? Probably not. I mean, there are some PTs out there doing that. Good for you. Not me. Sorry. But like he gets you in that mindset and like to anything, like mindset is so important to get you going to what you want to do. If you can't visualize it, then it's not going to happen.
I like it.
So I definitely have to say,
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
All right. Last question is a who question. Who's someone the audience should know more about? I on purpose leave this like super open-ended and ambiguous.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to do a non-PT, like my guy, Chris Johnson on Twitter and Instagram. This guy, like, I started following him in like
PT.
Another guy named Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a common name.
That's actually.
But like, I think he spells his name on Instagram with like three S's because it's so common.
Okay.
Three or four S's, but like no, because like he's an Army vet. He's super super smart, and he just talks about like, you know, the kind of mindset things I talk about too, and you know, he was able to scale, you know, the internet and then just like influence on social media and like everything he talks about just points. I mean, he usually attacks like, you know, like people who are comfortable with a 95, people who like love their credit score but got no money in the bank. So it's like more like a little financial literacy mindset, and you know, actionable steps, and like it kind of tied into like some of the things like I thought about subconsciously, and that's why like I put it out there on Twitter and Instagram. So I'm just like, yo, like that's life in the 21st century. So, you know, just as PTs, you know, step outside the PT realm, try to learn something from someone else. Like, he's someone I highly recommend.
Like it. All right, it's time to do the parting shot now. Parting shot brought to you by our friends from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, orthopd.org. We have a contest coming with them very soon. We're going to have Chris Hughes back on the show to talk about if you're going to be an orthopedic PT, they've got all these courses, like more than 25 courses to up your game to be a better orthopedic physical therapist. We gave away access to Current Concepts of Orthopedic PT, which is their code word for like, be better at taking the OCS. Like if you want to pass the OCS, take this course. Like, and it's written, the course is written by the people who are literally like the people writing the papers with BPT. So we've got some more coming out for you. We're not going to give away one course. We're going to give away access to any course. So we're going to say, you win, now you pick. If you're like, I don't want this, I want knee, I want shoulder. So we're just going to give access. So orthopt.org. Kadeem, I feel like you're built for a parting shot. Like, I feel like all you do is tweet parting shots. Like, that's what you do. So no pressure. Parting shot, your last chance to just like mic drop moment. What do you want to leave with the audience? It's all you.
Basically, you are not your profession. It's up to you if you want to be. You know, like, I call myself Dr. Deem, but I don't necessarily post just PT stuff. I post about my life. I post about what I do. My interest, and don't let anyone take that from you. You know, because you could fall into that imposter syndrome where people start doubting you, like, oh, Kadeem, you're a PT, can't you real estate? Oh, Kadeem, you're a PT, you can't do stocks. Like, no, if you think you can, you can. You just got to put in the work. And I would say is like, don't let your profession limit you from life. And as us PTs, like, I like other things, I'm going to do them. And that's it. 9 to 5, though, I'm the best PT you'll ever be. Come see me in Grand Central.
Yeah, but it's just relationship building. It sounds like what you're doing, and that's with a patient every time in front of that patient or anybody who interacts with you online, which is why I kind of gravitated for you. I was like, you know, when I see him tweet, I'm just like, hey, I benefit. I'm fueled by this, and I'm not drained by this. Which on social media, you can very, very, very quickly be drained by this. So if you want to follow Kadeem, the socials there, Dr. Deem on Instagram and at Kadeem Howell on Twitter. Kadeem, I want to make sure this is not the last time that you come on the show. Let's bring you back on when you got that that dropship course and talk more about that, because I feel like that's things that PTs, let's get good stuff out to people. Let's fight the bad with the good. That's our solution to the problem. Let's make sure the good thing spreads and not just the bad.
I got a couple of things coming up, but we're going to find out for the next episode, so stay tuned.
All right. Thanks so much. See you, my friend. Have some fun with that Makers.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our Chief Connections Officer,
Sky Donovan,
from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second-year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love it.
I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast. The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpintcast.com.